What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You could download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You look for the Odyssey app, the big orange background with a big white A. And then you download it, you search for WILK News Radio, you favorite us, and that's it. You got us anywhere, any play. It plays seamlessly with your CarPlay. We're also available on iHeartMedia platforms now, too. So you can get your favorite Odyssey programming from iHeart platforms as well. So all good. How's everyone doing on this Tuesday, July 8th, 2025? 308, 88 degrees. It's been a good day so far. A couple sprinkles up near me, but for the most part, sun's been out. It's been hot and humid, you know, typical summer afternoon here in July in Northeast Pennsylvania. We do have some storms moving into our area. I believe they're supposed to start hitting us around 4 o'clock. It looks like just north of us, just moved through Tunkhannock up through Scott. You know, there's a storm coming through, but that's one of the precursor storms. After that, down from Williamsport all the way down through Harrisburg into Maryland is a line of storms coming through that could be kind of heavy at times. We are under a thunderstorm watch. I don't think it's a warning just yet. So be careful out there if you're going to be driving around by the time you are getting out of work, if you work that 9 to 5. It should be just about getting to us and in our area. It looks like the worst of it right now is south of us, but you know how these things flare up and change. It has been a hot, humid day. Sun is out. We could see the clouds blow up unexpectedly anywhere throughout the evening. So just be careful. That's why I want to put that warning out, checking the radar for you guys. Because your safety is of the paramount concern. And a pre-advisory that I wouldn't be surprised if we get those annoying things. You know how it goes. And they'll be telling us about an area that's 150 miles away from us as far as warnings go. But since the storm is coming through, we have to side on caution. And again, safety is the paramount concern. We saw that victim count for the deceased is over 100. 104 was the last I heard, maybe 109. Just a devastating area. One of the positive points coming out of there is the rain has moved out of the area. The rivers are starting to subside, and it's giving more and more of an avenue for the first responders to get in there and do their job. And hopefully a miracle happens and we get some victims that are recovered still with us, because that's just can't even comprehend at this point the loss for some of these families and some of the stories coming out of there. Some news coming out of our area. Nothing too crazy as far as the news day went. So if you want to get involved with the conversation, 570-883-0098. We'll have Tommy at 4 o'clock like we normally do. We'll talk about some increases in the Crestwood School District budget, even though they ended last year with a surplus and still increasing the budget, something you have to ask, why? And that's exactly what we're going to do. One of the stories from our area is how the county is expecting increased interest earnings from its reform, saying it's beginning to bear fruit to improve its cash management and increase interest revenue. They are projecting a potential revenue boost of almost $1 million over the next year as a result of a financial reform that the commissioners approved back in July of 2024. That's when we had three commissioners. Yeah, that's right. We're still without a commissioner, and that's going to start hurting us. I was talking to a lot of people over the last week, and you know, business as usual, normal things, and Commissioner Chris Chermak has done a good job of you making sure that the county residents and making sure that employees are getting paid on time. and the things that really aren't controversial, the day-to-day business, are happening. But there's going to be some things that are going to start being controversial, the reassessment being one of them. If that cannot be approved, that cannot go into effect. And if that delays going into effect, then how can it move forward? The budget. The budget is going to be either a bipartisan agreement or it's going to be not getting done. Does that mean furloughs? Does that mean work freezes? Does that mean we don't know what that means? This is, you know, a time where the courts are taking their time and getting a third commissioner in there so we're at full strength. They've made decisions that a single commissioner cannot act unilaterally, and that seems to be the case during an appeal that's going on right now. So what happens with that? We don't know. And you have the other commissioner, Bill Gaughan, who's entrenched because he's fighting not only with his own party, but the Republican commissioner who's at odds on his ability to institute lawsuits, again, on his own. So we'll see what happens there. But this is good news for the county. But did it need to go the route it did? It shouldn't have. So back in July, Commissioners Bill Gaughan, Chris Chermak, and then Commissioner Matt McGloing approved a county's participation in a program called CashVest. It's a program offered to public sector entities by the firm 3+1. The program provides data analytics to simplify cash, banking, and investment management decisions, better enabling the county treasurer to maximize the value of cash maintained by county government, Chief Financial Officer David Bolzoni said in a memo. Now, why we needed to go to an outside entity for this is understandable when you're electing officials that don't have the skill set or the background in financial management to do the job they're doing. And that's why when you elect, let's say, a school teacher, when you elect people from different backgrounds, like someone with a journalist and football background, or a mechanics background, or professional politicians, which we've seen across the country, they don't have the financial know-how. They do not have the economic management skills to do these things themselves. So what do? Well, they get consultants. And they get consultants because a lot of times they're not hiring the proper people in positions like the county's business manager, like financial treasurers and such like that, who should be the ones doing this job. Looking for the best alternative to keep liquid cash in investments to where they're maximizing interest return while that money's sitting there waiting to be used. Now, obviously, you cannot put this money in long-term investments. Obviously, that's, you know, a job of in itself. But in a lot of places, listen, you know, I manage communities in my past life. Our business manager, our general manager, every month we're looking at the different investment avenues, safe investments, things that could keep your cash liquid just in case it came up that it was needed, to maximize that interest in a safe environment. Obviously, you don't want to invest in the stock market with a cash basis, you know, on-hand safe investment, because something could happen like we've seen with the markets over the past few years. There's been entities out there that have invested their money in Bitcoin thinking it was going to be and that's obviously not recommended by anyone, but, you know, someone who thinks they know better says, oh, we can make a quick buck. We put all this money in Bitcoin, and then all of a sudden it crashes and there's no money there. But on a monthly, if not bi-monthly basis, you know, we sat down as a management team and you went out for bids to all the different banks or all the different entities to see what was the best high-yield savings account you could get, what was the best CD rates on short-term, either 6 months or 3 months or even a month, that you could get. And that was a rotating basis. That's what we did. They hired a company to do that. And I would assume it does not get into what the company's take on this is. But listen, we're not paying another entity to do these things for free. They're getting a cut of percentage of the money that they're saving the county. How much of that? Who knows? If they're expecting $1 million revenue boost through the investments from this CashVest program from this company 3+1, what's the percentage rate that they take for that? What's the cost, the rate that they take for doing the work to find that? Now, for an entity as large as a county or as large as a city, you know, you should have the people in place to be doing this yourself. But the fact it's being done is good for county residents, you and I. They are maximizing their interest take, but when you reduce it by the cost that these companies, by these consultants get for it, and a lot of times you'll hear, well, it was paid for with a grant. And it does not say that that's the case in here, but it could be. You know, I know the city of Scranton often says, you know, we're hiring a consultant to do this work, you know, and it's going to be paid for by a grant. Every time you hear the word grant, just realize it's your tax dollars. And it could be federal tax dollars, state tax dollars, or local tax dollars. It is your tax. The only money that these entities have to spend is yours and mine. That's where they get it from. It doesn't matter if it's from the state, then it's your tax. It comes out of your same check, right? You get the federal tax, you get the state tax, you get your local tax, your school district tax. It all comes out of your check, the same place, just like it does most of us. So it is a good deal for us to do better. But looking at some of the interest rates here, you know, it says, a big part of the problem was there was no comprehensive system in place to monitor the county's accounts. More than 90 accounts in 7 different financial institutions, he said. The CashVest program changed that by creating a comprehensive system, and the results have been really dramatic. For example, several accounts at Fidelity Bank earned an average of 2.36 interest for the county in the last quarter. Now, due to changes that we've made, those accounts will earn roughly 3.5%, creating an additional $400,000 in interest earning over the next 12 months. And that's a quote from Bill Gohan, county commissioner. 90 accounts in 7 different institutions, really, for a county, is not really that many. You know, I went through my accounts systems, and this is just me personally. I have 12 accounts through one of my financial institutions. And that would be multiple investments, CDs, IRAs, savings, checking, credit card. There's 12 different accounts in there. And I'm ranging anywhere from 1.9% interest to 4.9% interest over all my platforms. And again, this is liquid cash. This is not investments. This is not my 401k. It's not my stock portfolio. It's not anything like that. This is money that I could liquefy very easily to do it. 12 accounts, and I'm just, you know, me and my wife. So, and I monitor it on a monthly basis. You know, it's at the tip of my fingers. 90 accounts through 7 institutions shouldn't be that hard for a professional business manager, for a financial person, for a county to keep track of. For an assistant in that office to keep track of, to reach out and say, hey, Fidelity Bank, what are your rates this month? What are you offering as far as a 3-month CD, as far as a 6-month CD? You know, do you have a high yield savings account? What's the rate there? Because I can get a rate here and put them against each other. The fact that we're paying a separate entity to do that for us, okay, in the end, we're making more money than we were as a county. That's a good thing. But are we truly maximizing that? Are we truly putting the right people in places of positions to where they have the skill sets to do these things? And it's as simple as, hey, I'm the county commissioner. Send me a report on a monthly basis where our accounts are, what interest rates they're making, and put a list next to that of different institutions you've contacted to see if they can better it. And if they can, and we do our due diligence, let's look into switching over. Competition is good. If you tell a bank like Fidelity, and I'm only using them because they're named here in the story, you know, if there's another bank that's going to do better than them, and a lot of times they do want to because they want your money, especially when you're talking about the millions of dollars in a county coffer that could be invested. When you put that competition out there, they do better. So it is a good thing. Could it be better? Yes. If we had the right people in places with the right skill sets, it could be better. They make it seem like 90 accounts in 7 different institutions for a county the size of Lackawanna County is a lot to monitor. Well, it shouldn't be. Like I said, just in my one account, my one financial institution, I have 12. And I monitor them on a daily basis, if not, you know, monthly or bi-monthly as far as longer-term investments like a 3-month CD or a 1-month CD or a high-yield interest. because you want to see, well, okay, what are you offering this month? What specials do you have? Do you have something, you know, to transfer funds to a different kind of entity in your under your umbrella of a bank? And they do all the time. So good news, but could be better as far as this goes. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio on this Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. Just be careful about 4 o'clock, 4:30. We're supposed to have those storms moving through the area. It's going to be severe in spots based on the radar signatures that we're getting now. So I think we're just under a watch at this point. But as the show goes on, you know, I just want you to be aware. If you have the tops down or if you have your top off your Jeep or something, you might want to get it up and get ready for some heavy rain coming through the area. See, now that I'm a Jeep owner, I got your guys back. You don't want to get caught out there getting poured on, no doubt. So from Lackawanna County, we're going to move over to Luzerne County to where the County Ethics Commission is unable to investigate complaints without an enforcement attorney. Luzerne County Accountability, Conduct, and Ethics Commission is unable to investigate two pending complaints because the commission continues to struggle to find an enforcement attorney, Controller Walter Griffith said on Monday. In May, the commission accepted the resignation of the only enforcement attorney for the commission, according to the County Accountability, Conduct, and Ethics Code. An enforcement attorney must investigate complaints and then decide whether to dismiss or prosecute them before the commission. So without that, no complaints can come before the commission. That sounds like a problem now, doesn't it? The code says one of three enforcement attorneys will serve in each case on a rotating basis. The county home rule charter approved by voters in 2010 established the Accountability, Conduct, and Ethics Commission to enforce the ACE code that applies to county employees and elected and appointed officials. It's kind of hard that they can't do their job based on their own charter because they can't find anybody to fill the position. So on this ethics enforcement attorney, the chairman says that a quick fix could be council could amend the code to allow the commission's solicitor to review complaints when the commission doesn't have an enforcement attorney. Seems like a lot of power for this enforcement attorney. And although they work in a rotating basis, we don't have any right now. We did only had one for a while, so they were getting all the cases. And that attorney dismissed all 12 complaints filed during their tenure. So it seems like a...
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of power for one attorney, and especially the fact that every single case, all 12 of them were dismissed. District Attorney Sam Sengeldoce, one of five members on the commission, said that the commission is struggling to find attorneys interested in being ACE enforcement attorneys. So basically, the district attorney for the county who sits on the commission said that the unpleasantness of the job is one of the reasons why. And it pays $225 an hour. So it doesn't seem like that's a pay issue. They don't believe that the pay rate is the reason for attorneys don't want to do the job. It's because the unpleasantness of it. Well, yeah, it's dirty work, but somebody needs to do it. And it obviously needs to come to a fix when they had a single attorney dismiss all 12 complaints and now that single attorney quit the job. And they don't have anyone, so they can't even review their ethics complaints. So that's out of Luzerne County. Obviously, some kind of fix needs to be done there so this job can be done. It was put in by the voters through a county charter change to have a more transparent and accountable government. So let's see, ensure it happens, right? It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:36 here on the station of those storms. There is a small cell that's, it is severe, that's moving through the Clark Summit area, Scott, into German as we speak now. That's not the main body of the storm. That's like a cell that's before the storm. It should be moving into that line of storms that goes all the way down through Harrisburg, should be moving through Pittston and areas like that. It's already into Bloomsburg and stuff now. So, just be on the alert that this small cell that's affecting northern Lackawanna County, Waverly, Clark Summit, it's going to be hitting the Blakely, Dixon City area, German, Carbondale, Scott Township. I just checked my surveillance cameras up at my house, and the sun is still up there in Greenfield, but you could see the dark clouds to the horizon. So it's on its way that way. So you'll have some heavy downpours. It should only last a few minutes and then move through. But the main body of the storms is behind it, probably about 20 minutes, a half hour behind it. So just be aware. Scranton police are investigating a bunch of stabbings over both Sunday night into Monday. Something that has a lot of residents concerned. The two stabbings happened Sunday night into Monday. Officers first responded to at 9:48 in the evening Sunday at the 1800 block of Pittston Avenue for reported stabbing. Police found a man on the road with a stab wound to his groin, according to the release. Man was taken to a local hospital where he was in critical but non-life-threatening condition. Underwent surgery and is now stable. Just over 2 hours later, just after midnight into Monday, they responded to the 400 block of Penn Avenue where they found an injured man at St. Francis Commons. According to a separate media release, the man was taken to a local hospital. Police say there's no information about his status. You know, it's these situations, and even at Scrantastic, I left probably about 8 o'clock. I left before the fireworks happened. It was a good time. There were a couple moron teenagers on e-bikes that were zipping through the crowd. After running into two other people, including myself, to where I had to grab the handlebars and stop the guy dead in his tracks, he ran into an older gentleman, did apologize, but they kept going back and forth to where the people were walking on the sidewalk purposely. I mean, it was obvious. But Scranton police were right on that, grabbed them right after that incident, and told them to leave, and I didn't see them again. There was a good crowd. But after I left, I was contacted by a couple people that there were a bunch of fights. Police were running around. Police were busy. And it's a shame because it was a nice family event. There were a lot of families there. And, you get these teenagers and people running around that really have no respect for anything. And that was the same thing for these kids who were, they weren't dangerous, but they were just being reckless and being kids. But until they were actually told, stop it, they didn't care, and they kept doing it. And they kept doing it to be wise guys, not to be criminals, not to be, like I said, when the one ran into me as I was walking to say hello to some people, I was out on the sidewalk. Thankfully, I reached out and just grabbed the handlebar and stopped him cold. That wasn't the case where he ran into a gentleman from behind, an older gentleman in the 70s that was walking with his wife. Now, again, they apologized, but it was a half-baked apology. But we've seen time and time again when we see these incidents, be it the gunfire that we've seen, be it the stabbings, and I don't know what the response, what the age group of these stabbings are. But you have these kids whose parents obviously don't have a clue what their kids are out there doing, nor care. And it's time that parents, especially fathers, step up. And I understand there's a lot of families where fathers are in the picture, but there's a father somewhere, right? And our society is really at a loss for father and parental guidance, especially, from a fatherly figure. And it's a shame because, I know a bunch of single moms that have done outstanding jobs, and I'm not taking anything away from them. But there's something to be said for a male father figure or a male figurehead in someone's life, especially a young boy's life, especially in young girls' lives. So as a society, we need to do better. And if it's in your family group and you see that void there, maybe step up and help fulfill the role the best you can to at least be some sort of guidance. It's 3:41 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA premium perks, I believe, right? Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 345, 85 degrees. On this Tuesday, July 8th, we do have some storms moving through the area. You'll have a short burst up in Upper Lackawanna County for a little bit, and then the main body of storms in probably about a half hour or so will come through the entire area, and then hopefully gone the rest of the evening, and it's just cloudy and your typical evening in any PA. So Gen Z diners are tripped up by common menu pricing abbreviations and wind up slapped with a $160 bill. So among all the other problems Gen Z's having, it's navigating a menu in a restaurant seems to be another one. And of course, where do you find these stories at? Well, it went viral on TikTok. So here we are talking about it. Talk about a pricey point of view. And listen, a lesson learned for you Gen Zers or anyone. If there's something you don't understand, ask questions. Simple as that. Life lesson learned, right? And that goes for anyone, especially Gen Z. If you're looking at a menu in a restaurant with your friends, and between the group of you, you can't figure out what something means, ask questions. That's how we learn. When you don't understand something, ask questions. When you understand something, ask more questions. That's how you learn. That's how you become a better person. I'm asking questions all the time. And with the height of social media, where we have these supercomputers in the palm of our hands and AI and everything else, you have multiple avenues to ask questions. And if you're in a place where you don't have service and you can't ask, ask the person there. I would assume they're working in the restaurant. They know a little bit about it. So these three Gen Z sisters got a not-so-tasty surprise when they ordered steak at a coastal North Carolina restaurant. Well, there's a couple red flags here. You're at a coastal North Carolina restaurant, which leads me to believe that it's more in the bougie-type establishment. And you're ordering steak. Okay. You know, there's probably a lot cheaper things on the menu if you're looking to be price-conscious. But you order steak. And the spoiler, only to realize too late, was MKT on the menu, what it actually meant. Now, obviously, a lot of people here that I'm talking to knows that that's market price. When there's no dollar value on a menu item, a lot of times with seafood and steaks, I've even seen it with chicken and buffalo wings has even had it when they were hard to come by. Well, the three sisters, Gen Zers, in their 20s, thought that MKT meant marked down. Yep. So, of course, they went to TikTok and racked up more than 19 million views. Nothing like going to TikTok to show 19 million people that you're a moron. Simply because you didn't ask a question. And I'm not going to say their names, even though their names are in the store, but they're 20 years old and her siblings shared their shock while ordering at Moonrakers, a white tablecloth waterfront joint in Beaufort, North Carolina. You didn't know what Mark MKT meant on the steak menu, and now you're paying for it, the caption read, as the camera panned to their stunned expression at a $159 and $14 bill. Now, they got two steak dinners, and they got a kale Caesar salad with grilled chicken on it. Now, for three people, $160 really isn't that bad. It's $54 a person for a white tablecloth waterfront restaurant in Beaufort, North Carolina. I think that's a pretty decent price. But they said the, you know, for the two 12-ounce New York strip steaks, $52 each and a $28 baby kale Caesar salad with an extra $11 for grilled chicken and a $10 kids grilled cheese and a $3 Sprite. I'd be more egregious about the $28 baby kale Caesar salad with $11 of grilled chicken on it, right? A $39 salad with grilled chicken seems like a lot to me. Well, Grandpa came to the rescue and covered their bill. But again, if you don't understand something, if there's something you do not know, ask. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Well, Tom from Clark Summit said, Rob, I heard your last comment. I always tell my son, if you don't ask, then the answer is always no. Well, obviously. Or you're paying, and again, I don't think $160 is too bad of a price for two 12-ounce strip steaks, the sides, and again, the kale Caesar salad with the chicken was the most egregious to me, $29. Nope. Give me the New York strips every day, even though I like salads, but we'll get it. Somebody asked if I've heard anything about the New York City to Scranton rail service. I have not heard any updates on that. I would imagine it's still in its investigative stage, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Like I said, as with the direction New York City's going in as far as who they are electing, not only in city government, but state government, I'm an absolute no on supporting that, especially if this socialist, communist, do-nothing, never-did, cosplaying moron is elected mayor of New York. Here's an individual that comes from wealth and wants to portray a victimhood that doesn't exist. And listen, he's equally pissing off everybody, from his anti-Israel statement to the new pictures that came up of him giving the finger to the statue of Christopher Columbus. Is aggravated a lot of the Italian Americans in the New York area. I don't understand how someone like that gets elected, but listen, you get what you vote for, and if their destiny is to spiral the drain, then so be it. I just don't think we need to take them here on a rapid form of mass rail. So we'll see what happens with that. So the Crestwood School District, we talked about this at the opening of the show, that we were going to talk about it, adopted a $49.7 million budget. Yep, for 2025-2026. It marks an increase of 4.3% over last year. To raise the funds, the school board is imposing a property tax of 12.9182 per 1,000 of assessed value. That amounts to a 2.2% tax hike over last year and a 4.2% tax hike over the Crestwood property tax rate in 2023-2024. So Crestwood homeowners with the median value property of $178,500 will pay around $2,300 in property tax at that rate, or $50 more than they paid last year, or $94 more than they paid 2 years ago. Of course, you have the homestead exclusion discount, which is largely funded through the state gaming tax and generally applies to owner-occupied homes and farmsteads. Remember when we were promised it would do away with our property taxes or school taxes altogether? The thing is that the Crestwood School District had a surplus last year, and they raised the taxes, and they're raising the taxes again. Now, they expect the taxes to generate $23 million for the district off the tax rateable base of a now $1.79 billion. Crestwood business manager Thomas Benz said that the committee meeting on June 19th at Crestwood would finish the 2024-2025 school year with a $1.5 million surplus. He attributed the surplus to health care costs lower than had been anticipated, coming in around $5.8 million or around $900,000 lower than what the school board had budgeted for. The district also received more state aid than it had expected and received higher interest on its cash reserves. The district's local revenues are complemented this year by a growing state-funded total. The school board anticipates in its budget that the Commonwealth in the upcoming school year will allocate Crestwood $19.2 million. Now, again, without the budget being finalized, which is late by over a week now, it's interesting how the governor will point fingers at the big, beautiful bill and everything going on in Washington when he has his own budget in limbo. But they anticipate receiving about $1.9 million in state funds from the Ready to Learn block grant. This $1.9 million figure includes only 82% of the adequacy funding distributed through the Ready to Learn Crestwood, recommended to receive in the Governor Josh Shapiro proposed budget. They're saying it would be unwise to count on the full amount of money and not budget for less because the budget is not finalized. So you want to ask, what does a delayed budget do for you? Well, here in Crestwood, it's giving you a 2.2% tax increase in your school budget because Harrisburg can't get their act together. And you know what? They delay their budget in Harrisburg while they'll all tell you, well, we're getting close. That's the governor says every day. We're getting close. We're almost there. Meanwhile, you and I, in some places, are paying more for your school taxes because they don't have a solid number to work off of. They don't have a black and white figure to do their job because Harrisburg isn't doing their job, because the governor's not doing his job. And listen, budgets, this fourth budget in a row that's been late, I get that. But don't you think the governor should be somewhere in Harrisburg having meetings day in and day out with the parties on both sides to get this done? So your school district, like Crestwood, doesn't have to guess or estimate what they might get because they don't know? At least cosplay to the people that you're acting like the governor, like you're trying to do work for you and I, the everyday Pennsylvanians, because that's what he was elected for, right? You know, if you elected him or not, he's your governor. He's my governor, and I expect him to do his job. And then, rather than that, he seems to be campaigning. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.